Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say preview podcast show as we look forward to the fixture. Luton Town coming to town.
Come on!
Yes, Sunderland versus Luton, 3 p.m. on Saturday. In the studio with me tonight, we have Michael Loft.
Good evening.
Matthew Keeling.
Hello.
And we have a roving reporter out and about today in the form of James Copley. He's been speaking to... So in the show, right, you'll hear from Luke O'Nine, Jimmy Dunn and Charlie Methven.
I feel slightly redundant, to be honest.
Well, you know, we just got to fill in the bits in between the interviews. But we are looking forward to a big fixture on Saturday. Before we get to that, let's have a quick look back on Tuesday night's game. We had a reaction show podcast, which I think we were both on. But let's just discuss it very briefly. Michael, you know, now you've had time for the dust to settle. Happy with the win, obviously, and the occasion. Are you kind of over it now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've managed to come on the Metro through to Gateshead, and I've not been like walking around making 4-0 gestures at any mags as I've walked through the studio. So
you've done well.
I have. But to be serious, yeah, it was a very strange occasion. I think everybody's commented on this. I think it's slightly been emphasised a little bit too much about the whole kind of like men versus boys things when we had a fair few kids playing ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think that was a good thing to come out the other night. Let's just completely forget it was against Newcastle. Let's forget the occasion. Barley Mumba got more minutes under his belt. Kim Yorker got a goal. Luke Molyneux came on. Hackett came on. So these young lads are getting really good minutes, and it was in front
White
of
White got minutes as well.
Charlie White, yeah, he scored as well, which will do his confidence good. Chris McGuire scored a goal, which will do his confidence a world of good, because again, he was quite a poor review the other night, but I think
Ozturk as well, another one getting time.
So it's all positive, but I think particularly from the young players, I don't think a lot of them will have played in front of an atmosphere like that. I mean, even though, like, I'm not saying it was like a proper derby, but our fans were certainly a lot more up for it than a typical Checkered Trade Trophy game. So it was a good experience all around for the young players, and it was just pleasing to get the game out of the way. Now we can look forward to the bigger things coming up.
Similar sentiments?
Yeah, I think, obviously, for me, as soon as the first goal went in, it was just a relief, to be honest. Once we'd scored, there was no way they just didn't look like scoring, to be honest. And it was just we'll never speak of it again.
But we are speaking about it.
No, we won't speak of it again, apart from a reaction podcast and introducing tonight's show.
Yeah, but that's it now.
Yeah. Today, the club had a kind of, I guess, press conference of sorts down at Birtley Boxing Gym. We took James Copley went down for us, didn't he? He spoke to Charlie Methven on the subject of the Checkered Trade Trophy.
He's saying, hang on a second, two games from Wembley. Yeah. And it focuses the mind a little bit. The Checkered Trade Trophy final, the JPT finals it used to be, is a fantastic day out for two reasons. First of all, unlike the League Cup and the FA Cup, it's like a playoff final. The whole stadium is devoted just to fans of those two teams. There's no selling to the rest of the country or corporates and like that. It's just 50-50, so you just get the colours just go like that on either side. And the second reason is it matters, but it doesn't really matter. So probably the only game you go to at Wembley, which you can just enjoy it. And if you win, great. If you don't win, but it doesn't even really spoil your weekend. It's not, you know. So it's just really fun. It's a really fun day out.
It's potentially one of those moments as well for fans, given the heartache over the years, where you look back on and kind of, you know, get some pride.
100%. It's one of those moments where you say, do you know what? This fun weekend is part of the reason. Because football is fundamentally meant to be fun, both to play and to watch and to be involved in.
So that was the executive director of Sunderland Football Club, Charlie Methven, speaking to James Copley about the Chequered Trade Trophy and the competition as a whole, getting to Wembley. Michael, you'd love to get to Wembley, right? But it's got to be the right opposition.
Yeah, completely. Because it would be fantastic if, say, we play Portsmouth in the final, because they're a massive club as well for the level, and they would take a really good following. We would take a really good following. And it would be a fantastic... I think it's a final of a Chequered Trade would love as well, because it would be a fantastic advert for them, seeing so many people at Wembley, two really big clubs. And it's a chance of silverware, and I think we'd all have a lovely old time, providing that we won. But my only fear is, I just hope that it's not Manchester City that we get, should we get to the final, and I hope they're knocked out the next opportunity, because...
Well, you actually made a point earlier, didn't you, in the week, that you'd actually love to get Man City in the next round.
I would, because that means that if we beat them, fantastic, then it's only league size left in the competition, and if Manchester City beat us, then we have no chance of having our day at Wembley, kind of devalued slightly by playing an under-21 side in the final, because I just don't think it'll be the same occasion, because Manchester City fans are the League Cup final in 2014 with a little bit of contempt, so they're not exactly going to take like thousands of fans.
I was going to say, I don't think they'd turn out the fans for that.
Well, the first team could be playing on the same day.
Yeah.
So, I guess Man City could have a game, so...
I guess if I was a Manchester City fan that lived in London and I had a bit of spare cash, I might pop down, but I certainly wouldn't be tracking from Manchester, you know what I'm saying?
It could be not even taking away the Chequered Trade Trophy aspect to it. It could be a brilliant occasion, and
yeah,
I was at the final a few years ago. I think it was Walsall Bristol City. I was at the final with 74,000 people there for that. That was obviously before under 21s or under 23s.
And as Charlie said in the audio as well, you just get half of the ground. There's no neutral seats such. You know, it's just colours both sides. Yeah. It was a good day.
It was a good day out, yeah. And obviously, I wasn't that invested in who won the game, so it was a good occasion for everyone. And the atmosphere was great. Obviously, it was different to a League Cup final or whatever. But no, and I agree that the day out at Wembley could be, regardless of the trophy.
Promotion and a cup final victory at Wembley, that would be a great season, you know.
Yeah,
most football fans would take your hand off at that, you know.
It would be an outstanding season, and I think it would be unbelievable for some of these players who haven't necessarily... I'm not saying they haven't achieved a lot in their career, because obviously if you're a professional footballer, right, they're living the dream.
Yeah.
But they won't have played in front of potentially 40-odd thousand Sunderland fans at Wembley. And you could imagine like George Honeyman like lifting the trophy in front of like all them Sunderland fans. It's just a fantastic image to have in your head, because you think he's been here through all the struggles, and Lee Catlemore and people like that who have been here, Lyndon Gooch, who have been here through all the negative times and during our slide. And I think for them it would be a real statement, like, I was Sunderland, we're back and we're doing things.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree entirely.
We'll come back to the Chequered Trade, because during the course of the recording of this podcast, the draw will have taken place. But we'll move on to the transfer window now. It's open, Mickey. It's gonna be an interesting one. There's already a lot of rumours going around. The chairman has been doing his fair share of you know, social media firestalking, if you like, in that regard. We'll start with you, Michael. What would you like to see come in?
Well, I'll be the Will Grigg rumours have been music in my ears, really, because I don't necessarily agree with such a thing as guaranteed goals, but I think with the quality we have in the side, with the finishing power of Will Grigg, I think we pretty much would be guaranteed promotion should we bring him in.
I only know really of Will Grigg, as most football fans, because he scores goals at Wigan and he's got that song. But he has actually got the stats to back it up, Michael.
Yeah, I've just looked at the last three seasons that he's played at League One level, and he got 20 in 44 for the MK Dons in, I think it was 2014-15. Then he signed for Wigan, he scored 25 in 40, and then last season he scored 19 in 43, and they're incredible statistics, really. So it just goes to show.
Do you know if all three teams got promoted? Because that would be interesting as well.
I'm trying to, obviously,
because Wigan did twice.
Yeah, the two Wigan spells are definitely promotion. I'm trying to figure out the dates for MK Dons. I'm not so sure. But it's still remarkable. It really is.
Contribution, and that would make a difference in this Sunderland side, which kind of been relying on Josh Madger for his goals.
Yeah, but have been. Obviously, I'll be absolutely over the moon if Madger stayed and we got Will Grigg. That would just be an absolutely fantastic statement of intent that, yeah, we've kept our best player, but we've still brought quality into the team.
Mm. And there was news out on the club's Twitter today, wasn't there, about Jerome Sinclair's stay at the club.
I'll let Matthew have a bit.
Yeah, obviously he's gone back to, well, not obviously, you may or may not know, he's gone back to Watford.
Mm.
So that's his loan spell over. And I feel for him in a way, because it wasn't for a lack of effort. You couldn't fault his commitment to the cause, but it just didn't. It started off, the Charlton game in particular, he changed the game when he came on, I think. And then there were spells that we discussed, I think, midweek. He was excellent at Doncaster. He put in some good performances. Peterborough at home as well. But the last couple of, his confidence has just gone, I think. And I don't think it's worth, you can understand why he's gone back. It's not worth us persevering with that. It's not our problem, really.
Does that not suggest, though, that it would be more of a loans thing coming in rather than a permanent sign? Or do you think Grigg could be happening then?
I would suggest it's likely to happen because he's not particularly getting much of a look in that Wigan this season, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. Or if he is, he's not being as prolific. And I think he's essentially a bit of a, you know, when Michael Chopra was really too good for a championship but not quite good enough for a Premier League.
Yeah.
I think he's almost like a League One championship version of like Michael Chopra from about 10 years ago, which doesn't sound like a compliment, but it actually is.
Yeah, you mean it's a compliment.
I'd be delighted to see Grigg come in, and I really hope it happens. On Sinclair, though, just to continue and develop a little bit what Matthew says, I think some people have been a little bit like harsh with him, and there's a lot of things around, like Jerome Sinclair, one of the worst players seen in the Sunderland shirt. It's reactionary nonsense, to be honest with you, because, like you said, he, even if, like, if we do get promoted this season, he has contributed. He's, like, kind of, I'm not saying he's won us points with goals or anything, but he's contributed in victories. So I don't think you can say he's been like a complete disaster. He's just had a few bad games and his confidence is obviously shot. And
you could argue as well, some of those games where he didn't have the best of appearances, he was played a little bit out of position.
He was
on the right, you know. And
well, one of the most important wins we'll get this season was at Doncaster. We wouldn't have won that game if he hadn't have been playing.
Yeah. I certainly hope he manages to turn his career around and I hope he's successful, but I do think ultimately it was the right decision to send him back because, as Stephen quite rightly pointed out in the reaction pod, being brutal, he's not now a player to develop, and I would not like to see him be in the way of a player's development. So in the short term, obviously, because we're not going to sign a striker before Saturday, certainly not to play on Saturday or feature.
But we did have a young striker came on scoring.
Exactly. So my point is, I would rather Kim Yorker was on the bench and not to stifle his development for the sake of giving him a few more minutes.
Yeah.
So I think it's the right decision.
It's something that's happened a lot over the last few seasons, though, that, isn't it? Especially, well, it costs us a lot with those Everton loanees as well. And Marco Gabbiadini often used to say on Radio Newcastle as well, he'd be so frustrated about the fact that he knew younger players that were in the academy who couldn't even get in the squad because of these players who had come in from other clubs. It's a very important point what Michael's making, isn't it, Matthew?
It is. I think, like, when you look back at last season, you're bringing in Galloway and Brown and Clark Salter, and you think, would we have been any worse if we just, Tom Beadlin was here, I think, at the time, would we have been any worse? Not that he, you know, he's going to keep us up or anything, but you never know. You've developed him long enough, and then you're bringing in someone else's to play.
Yeah.
Develop almost at the detriment of your success, really, because evidently some of them aren't good enough. And
yeah.
I think it's all about the type of experience that they've had before you bring the club, because I think the big mistake that we made last season, and this segues a little bit into the signing of Jimmy Dunn yesterday.
Yeah, we're going to be hearing from him in a second.
Because I think he's almost kind of the reverse of the way we've done loan signings in the past, because Jay Clark-Salter, I think he played 16 games for Bristol Rovers in League 2.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we threw him into a championship relegation battle with such little experience. Ovi Ejaria, I don't think he'd been loaned out anywhere when we'd loaned him in.
No.
Brendan Galloway had played a handful of games at West Brom, but nothing more than that. Tyus Browning hadn't had a huge amount of football. So basically, we were bringing these players in on the back of under-23 football, which we all know has played at a much slower, less physical pace. And we kind of placed a lot of our faith and trust in them players, which obviously required backing, but I don't think it's the right approach to go down, which is why I'm really pleased when I look at Jimmy Dunn. He's just progressed in his loan spells. So he went on loan to Barrow in the first instance, and halfway through that season, he made quite a big jump and went up a league to Acton Stanley.
Yeah.
So he went from the Conference to being promoted from League 2 in the season. And then this season, he's been at Hart and he's scored a couple of goals, and he's, by all accounts, they were good to see him go. So he's just been non-stop progression so far in the last few couple of years, and it's really good to see, and I hope he can bring that winning mentality, and I hope he can continue his development here.
Which is the opposite kind of axes which we've seen from our signings over the last few years, hasn't it? We've always got players on, you know, maybe on the decline of their careers, or maybe players that haven't even, you know, Dilla Bodgie hardly featured.
anyone that's been available at times, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll take him.
Did everyone save Didier and Doncourt, where he suggested that he didn't even want to come?
Yeah, he was made to come.
And that just shows how poor our due diligence has been. But now it looks as though we are. I mean, Jack Ross said so much when he did the live show at the Peacock a few months ago. He said that we are doing background checks on people and we're only bringing the right characters, not shown on the pitch.
Yeah, because as well, money is so precious as now. I'm not suggesting that it wasn't precious under Ellis Sharp, but there was a transfer budget given to a certain members of the board, or we had Congleton in there for a while as well, and then the money was there to be spent. While there's now, I think there's a process where Jack has said, I think they've got a lot of faith in Jack Ross, the owners, but he could say, I want this player, this is why, this is how much he'll cost, and this is why it fits in with our pay scale as well, which is very important. He's trying to do this, and would Will Grigg fit in with that as well?
You'd like to think so. I mean, I've seen, I'm not sure how reliable this is, but I saw a journalist tweet this afternoon saying that we bid it, and he described it as a low bid for Will Grigg. So maybe we're just kind of testing the water to see how things go. I can't see us getting into any kind of transfer dealer now unless it was mutually beneficial for the player and for the club. And I do hope Will Grigg fixes it.
We'll hear from Jimmy Dunn in a second, but has a Checkered Trade Trophy draw been made?
I'm just trying to find the live feed of it.
Well, it's not live if you're listening to this, obviously, because this is a recorded thing. It's all right, Matthew, you can bring that up. Why don't we listen to James Copley speaking to Jimmy Dunn about his move to Sunderland and his career so far, which Michael's touched upon.
So, Jimmy, why Sunderland?
I think, I said it before, a bit of a no-brainer. With a club of this size and with a club that has a fan base like this, it's impossible not to think that this would be a good place to come to help develop me as a person and as a player. There's a lot of pressures come along with being a Sunderland player, which, if you can get past that, it's going to really improve you. So I think that this is a perfect place to come and learn my trade.
Cool. And of course, Sunderland players might not be that aware of you. Describe your playing style to them. Like, how do you operate as a central defender?
As a central defender, I just like to defend first. I'm still young, so I'm still really really working on my defending and really concentrating on improving and being a stopper at the back and stuff. So I'm continuing to learn that, continuing to develop. I like to watch the older pros to see how they do it. That's the type of player I want to be. I want to be someone who can be reliable at the back.
And do you think that experience at Accrington last season would have helped you?
Yeah, all my loan experiences have helped me massively, playing in different leagues. I played in three different leagues in the space of a year. Then they have been massive parts of my development. I would definitely have needed them to be able to come to a place like this.
Was that a conscious decision as well? Because there's a lot of young players now in the British game who, at a club like Burnley or Manchester United, where you were before, would just kind of sit on the laurels, maybe stay in the under-23s. Was it a conscious decision to go out and get first-team football?
I think it's the obvious decision. If you want to go be a footballer, you need to play with men. So as soon as I got the opportunity to go and play in the conference with Barrow under Paul Cox, I took that opportunity, and I'm very grateful for being given that opportunity, because a lot of young players, and especially young defenders, aren't trusted enough to go and play in men's football because it means so much to people. So as soon as I got that opportunity, I had to take it, and I had to try and do well and improve and step up the levels at every opportunity I got.
Yeah, of course. And I spoke to Charlie Methford earlier. He's expecting about 36,000 on Saturday. Will that be your biggest crowd if you do play?
No, it wouldn't be my biggest crowd.
What would that be?
60,000 at Murrayfield this season in the Scottish Cup semi-final.
How was that?
And Celtic Park, 60,000, and Ibrox, 54,000. So they're massive crowds. That was a league with a massive following. I have experience under the crowds, but I'm yet to experience the pressure under the Sunderland supporters. So I expect that will be quite different. So I'm looking forward to experiencing it.
And how much did you know about Sunderland before you joined? Obviously, you mentioned earlier, but there's a bit of an Irish connection with Niall Quinn, John O'Shea. How big is that over there?
Oh, massive. There's a huge Irish following. Back home, my friends and family are so excited about it because they all know, as you said, John O'Shea is one of the most recent ones who, captained our country, captained the club, and I have to look at people like that and see how well they did and try and follow in their footsteps.
And looking forward to working under Jack Ross as well?
Absolutely. He's been really positive with me, he's been really positive with the lads, and we've seen the really good football the lads have been playing this season, so I'm lucky to be a part of it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our thanks to James Copley for speaking to Jimmy Dunn for us here on the Wise Men Say podcast. He was down at the boxing club as well. Not so many people getting punched in the face in the back of that one as there was with the Charlie Methven audio earlier on. But a good addition to the side, Matthew.
Yeah, it would appear so. He comes with a good pedigree, and he seems a good character as well.
Yeah.
From what I've heard and seen on the socials. So
yeah,
hopefully, yeah.
But we're going to be hearing from Luke09 as well later on in the podcast, and they're sparring down at the gym together, and then they're going off to play tennis as well. That's quite nice. Have they made friends already?
I couldn't imagine Luke09 punching anybody though.
Well,
he's just such a nice lad. Although actually, he's a
lovely lad,
but he's really competitive as well. Mm. So I'd imagine like he would just absolutely spark somebody out, but then be so apologetic about it afterwards.
Yeah, like,
yeah. do you think Jimmy will come straight into the side, or does he stick with the two at the back?
I don't think he will. I think he'll probably play with Flanagan and Baldwin.
Yeah,
should obviously availability dependent.
Yeah,
I would think he's probably been brought in as first replacement.
Yeah.
I think long term, the season goes on, I would quite like it if he could come into the side on a more regular basis, because it's a strange one, because statistically, Baldwin and Flanagan have actually had a really good season.
Yeah, there was something going around, wasn't there, today about that?
But even if we don't look at the kind of real nitty-gritty of statistics, I think we've still conceded one of the fewest amount of goals in the league.
Mm, well, talking of that, we have conceded 24, as have our opponents on Saturday. Oh. They've actually scored more than us as well by three more goals.
Yeah, but they went through a phase of just like demolishing people at home.
Yeah, it's. I tell you what, how good does that point look now that we got in August?
Well, we'll speak about that. Let's speak about the two teams and of course Luton, because this is the preview show.
Just to finish off a little bit, because I left that hanging slightly when I talked about, because I've kind of tried to be pointing, because I've said, I'm really pleased about this signing, I hope he can fit into the team. When I've gone on to say, yeah, but actually, like, we've been really good at the back, which I think the defence isn't as much of a concern as what people maybe make out.
But the fullback's not a problem for you?
Not particularly, because I think 09's perfectly adequate to fill in there, providing we can keep Adam Matthews fit. I think we're absolutely fine. I think we've got good options at left back. But in the centre half point of view, even when we've kept clean sheets, have looked a bit unconvincing, Flanagan and Baldwin.
Yeah. Mm.
And if Dunn does have the pedigree, if he's as good as his pedigree suggests, and we're going to have a lot of games, going to be particularly with the rearranged games, we're going to have three games in 6 days coming up, and even that might be rearranged. So
there's
a lot of football to be played. So, like I say, hopefully he can have be more and more influential in the team as the season goes on. But for now, I certainly wouldn't be throwing him in the deep end.
So you would stick with a similar side to last time? Well, not last time out, but last time out in the league. I'm trying to think of his name. Well,
Sean?
So Catmull's still suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Honeyman's probably not back. Watmore looks like he's out.
Yeah.
So the back four would be the same.
I wouldn't change your back four.
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, although
unless Matthews was, but obviously
Oviedo's been training, but I think he's only trained today. So on the back of a couple of days training, I don't think it's really wise to just throw him into the team straight away.
James has been doing.
He's
well
been perfectly
well,
adequate, hasn't he? So
yeah, and across the middle, same.
I'm trying to think what the midfield was down Charlton.
McGeoch and Power.
Power, yeah.
To be honest, I think we're actually like lacking in options at the moment, so I can't really see an alternative to playing them too.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, this is where obviously Matthews is a miss at right back anyway, but you miss him in that aspect, because I'd like to see 09 get a run in the middle.
It's like slightly more advanced, yeah.
there is still, like, if McGeady doesn't play, there is that small, it's not small, at times, there is that gap, isn't there, between our midfield and the strike force, which only a couple of McGeady fills, well, Honeyman fills that well.
He's one of them, Honeyman, you don't realise how influential on the side he's been until he's been injured.
Yeah.
But I think the big debate at the moment is Lyndon Gooch versus Chris Maguire, because to be quite frank, neither of them are playing particularly well at the moment.
Well, Maguire got the goal on Tuesday night, so maybe that'll help him.
I hope so.
A bit of a ping as well.
And he is, as we say on numerous occasions, he's a man for like the big occasion. And Lyndon Gooch, with his energy, is certainly a really good option to have off the bench. But one thing I'll say in Gooch's favour, although he hasn't done it in the past few weeks, he has still contributed goals and assists, even when his performances haven't been great.
Yeah. And I would agree with that, definitely.
And I would much rather, from like a coaching or managerial perspective, I would far rather have a player who is going to maybe not have a maybe 5, 6 out of 10 overall, but score you an important goal or provide a goal for somebody else, because that's what ultimately wins your games.
Well, I think the Walsall, the 2-2 at Walsall is a prime example of that. He had a fairly terrible game and scored and got an assist. It was quite bizarre, really.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, go on, Frankie.
No, I was going to move the chat background to the opposition on Saturday if we can. They've had a lot of one of the biggest football stories of the week, with their manager leaving to go to Stoke. Nathan Jones, he came out today and said he's been crying every time he's got a text message from a former player. Which is quite sweet, I guess.
He seems a very emotional guy, doesn't he?
Very emotional guy, but that's all right. You know, we had Big Dick. He was an emotional guy. He cried, you know, we bought him flowers, all that kind of thing. Well, we bought his wife flowers. But will that affect Luton, do you think, going into Saturday's game, Matthew?
It has to, I think.
Yeah.
It's got to destabilise them in some way. It could obviously galvanise them in a way, but I think it's got to affect... He's been there a few years as well, so it's not as if he's just been a flash in the pan and someone's taking a chance on him. I think they've overachieved as well.
Uh-huh.
So I think it has to. It can only... Well, you'd like to think it can only work in our favour this weekend.
Jack Ross, he's in the press conference today, he's played it with a very straight bat, like he always does when he's been asked about, and he's mentioned tactically, I don't think it's going to be much different, which I completely agree with, by the way, from a tactical standpoint. But like Matthew said, it's got to affect the kind of like the morale of the squad if they've been personally...
They're texting each other crying.
But that's quite a tragic scene, isn't it, to think about that? Yeah, so if he's built up these really close like personal relationships over the year, and he's built up a rapport with the players and the fans, and naturally it's going to be, and I think whoever is in caretaker charge is going to have a really hard job of pulling them together. So I think in time they could really work in our favour. But thinking more long term, I wouldn't be surprised to see Luton slide now, which is unbelievable news for us.
It is. It often happens at this in this league as well. There's often someone overachieving. Something happens during the season, they end up finishing mid-table.
They've already done that.
But I think there's even in close season. Obviously, Shrewsbury did well, last season. Lost the manager. Now they're struggling at the bottom.
So
it's the level they're at where a manager really can drag you.
Yeah.
To the top of the league, and then
he seemed very, very charismatic. I mean, obviously, I don't know a huge amount about him, but just the games you did see from Luton, he was always on the touchline, bouncing up and down.
Well, he was linked with our job in the summer, wasn't he? Well,
I'm sure he was linked when Simon Grayson got sacked, but he wasn't a front runner, but he was kind of mentioned in dispatches a bit further down the list.
Mm, yeah,
he would have been a massive gamble last season, but look, I mean, we've got to take advantage of it, though. We can't now let them off the hook. We've got to go for them from the off on Saturday.
Yeah. One of the players that is really in form for Sunderland at the moment, in playing in a position he probably never thought about playing, is Luke O'Neill. We've touched upon him already. James has been speaking to him this afternoon. Let's hear the conversation between James Copley and Luke O'Neill.
With the quality I've got around me, you've got great organisation, great players. They always talking to me, and I'm just really pleased that I could be helping the team and contribute to wins.
And whenever I pass you in the tunnel after a game, you're always quite bubbly, you're always laughing, joking. How good a group is this at the moment?
Yeah, it's class. Jimmy, he's just come in, he fits right in. I've been talking to him today, and
just had a little scrap there.
We've had a little scrap. I'm giving him a lift home, so he's got to remember that. he's class. He's at Accrington last year when I was at Wickham, so I can tell you for a fact he'll fit straight in. I think we're going back to beat him at tennis after this as well.
And just on Jimmy, what do you think he brings to the side?
if there's a scrap, a good punch. So I've just felt it in the ring. So if there's a scrap,
he's got a bit weird on you. Though,
oh yeah, if there's a fight, I'll be hoping that he backs me up. But no, he's in terms of adding to the change room, he adds to the great bunch of boys we've got. Playing wise, to be honest with you, we haven't actually seen too much of him. Training today, we will split into two groups and we'll do the same thing but two different pitches.
Yeah.
So I went with him. I haven't seen his finishing skills or anything yet, but you know, ask me in a couple of hours when I go back and beat him in tennis and I'll give you
he's a big lad, so he'll be good at head tennis, I'd imagine.
Oh no, I'll get him working. Just working back to front.
Yeah, nice. Drag him about a bit.
Oh yeah.
Just on to Luton as well on Saturday, how important is it for you as a footballer to be backed by such a big, strong home support?
Huge.
Does it give you a lift when you walk down the pitch?
Oh yeah, just the other day at the Chequered Trade having 16,000 fans there was just incredible. I think, listen, the fan base here is something I've never come across before. It is incredible. It's as simple as that. It's, you know, I get excited when I come out of the tunnel and see that many fans cheering you on. It can only help you. So for me, yeah, it's special, the fan base. And having so many fans week in, week out is really a big lift. You know, when we score, even when we don't score, when the other team score and they go in front, and our fans are still cheering, it's huge. So, yeah, long may it continue.
So I get the impression that just from speaking to you now that you just generally love football, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like, I've always loved football. It's a privilege to be in the game. You know, and I take good pride in knowing that a lot of people want to be in my place, so I'm making sure that when I wear the shirt, I wear it the best I can. I do as much as I can to make sure when I turn up on the weekend, the fans that pay the money to come watch, I can give them the best performance I can and help the team out. So yeah, just really enjoying it.
And how's that step up in a sense been from Wickham? Obviously they don't play in front of as big a crowd. Obviously you have a good affinity with Wickham fans as well, I've seen that on Twitter, but did you feel a bit of pressure coming into Sunderland to perform?
Yeah, perhaps. I was excited. I really wanted to do well. And, you know, it took me probably a couple of months to get up to speed. I'll be the first one to say that. But I had really good people around me. I remember having a chat with Potts just about my transition. And he said I was trying too hard at one stage. I was overthinking things. And I remember the date of the conversation. I remember the exact day. I remember where we were. And ever since that day, you know, I started to relax a little and remember my good qualities that got me here and really focused on them. And, you know, day by day I got better and better and felt more comfortable with, you know, with help with all the good people around me. And, yeah, it's going well at the moment and I'm going to keep working to make sure that the team keep doing well and then we can win the league.
Hopefully, yeah. It must be great, you know, playing alongside Lee Catamore, the McGeady players with Champions League and Premier League experience as well. For you, a young player coming through as well.
Yeah, you know, when I first joined, having them alongside me in training every day, their speed and their understanding of the game is incredible. So, you know, day by day, you gravitate towards those sort of players. You learn from them. You've got to be quicker than them. You've got to learn to get as quick as them. Otherwise, they make you look silly. So, they've made me a better player. And you know, Jimmy coming in, he'll do the same. He's ready for another scrap.
He's eyeing you up again, isn't he?
So yeah, listen, having the players we've got around us is incredible. It really does help me improve day by day.
Good. I'll let you get off and go for round two with Jimmy now.
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
That was Luke O'Nine, our right back, with James Copley at the Chessy Street or Burtley Boxing Club. He's off for another round with Jimmy Dunn. It's good to see that there's that kind of, yeah, I'm sure it's always been there, you know, the kind of banter in the dressing room, but it really feels like, you know, they're all on a level playing field right now. They're all getting on and they're all having friends. You know,
they're all making friends.
All making friends. It's nice.
Nice. It is nice. Yeah, it's good.
It must be a good environment to be around. You know, the facilities down at the academy, and you know, players coming in from lower down the leagues. Luton Nine. You're saying there how much of a big club he realised it was when he came in, and when he, you know, he's walking out on the pitch in front of all those people, and it actually it makes him want to be a better player. You know, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's strange because if you'd said after that Charlton game that one one out of the two of Jerome Sinclair and Luke O'Neill. One of them, the supporters are going to be absolutely loving. He's going to be like playing really well and improving every game. And one of them is going to be sent back to his club in January. You would not have said that Luke O'Neill would be the one who's currently excelling in a position which he admitted himself he's totally alien to, because he lied about playing right back in the past to get a game there because he got asked. And that's just testament to his character, Vaughan. It just shows like the kind of new beginning that the club is, just the epitome of everything of what's good around the place right now.
Yeah, Matthew.
But he's great, isn't he? Yeah.
It's one of the characters that we've been missing for years, isn't he?
Yeah, you know? He is. And not only does, obviously, it means, you can see what it means to him to play for us, but he is, he does seem to, have good banter as well and, fit in with the ethos of what they're all trying to achieve. And I did feel for him at the beginning of the season, because he signed on the Thursday and he was chucked into centre midfield on the Saturday, didn't
he?
Yeah.
It's incredible we won that game, when you look back. We started Luke O'Neill, the 16-year-old, in the centre midfield.
Yeah.
It was interesting, to say the least. Let's look at the weekend's fixture. Luton, and predictions then. Come on, let's be sensible here, Michael, what are you saying?
Oh, this one, it's really, really tough to predict.
Can I just say, at this point, we haven't mentioned Josh Madger for pretty much the whole show, including a transfer segment as well.
It shows you how much he's kind of gone under the radar in the past few days, after it all blew up about a week ago.
Helped, hasn't it? A bit of time and acceptance from fans. Yeah. Have thought, well, if he goes, he goes. If he stays, he stays. Brilliant. If he goes, Will Griggs on the horizon. Yeah.
But Ross has come out today and said that nothing's changed on the Madger situation. And again, Jack Ross, he's played it so well. He's come out and said that every conversation he has with Madger is still really positive. He said that he's got nothing personal against Madger whatsoever.
You hope he plays at the weekend, gets another goal.
And
he
keeps reiterating how much he's still behind him. And it's fantastic to see the manager coming out of that kind of rhetoric rather than getting on his back and putting them under pressure.
So is he going to score at the weekend?
Is he going to score at the weekend? Absolutely he's going to score at the weekend.
Thank you, Simon Grayson. Moving on, Matthew, what do you think the score's going to be?
I don't know, I'm usually pretty silly with these, aren't I? The manager's just...
Didn't actually get a score for you, Mickey.
The manager's just gone...
I'll come back in a sec.
3-1 Sunderland.
3-1 Sunderland.
Max scoring the first goal.
he needs a goal.
He could do with a goal. He's had the most... I've never seen anyone have so many blocked shots.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember he scored a really good goal down Gillingham, and I was kind of half expecting this every other week, kind of like a League One Steven Gerrard, kind of getting on the end of knockdowns on the edge of a box and rifling them in from 25 yards.
I think he'd love that comparison, by the way.
He would.
Oh, he would. Yeah, proper sound out, lads.
So, what are you going to say? What's the score going to be?
I'm going to say 2-0 Sunderland. Same margin, but we're going to keep a clean sheet.
Right, okay. And just before we sign off, do we know who we've got in the Czech Trade
Trophy? No, they've had an advert.
You'll know by this time you hear this. Thanks so much for joining us. The lads will be back on Monday, hopefully, after we beat Luton on Saturday.
If you're at a loose end before the game, or even if you're not at a loose end before the game, come along to the Peacock and watch Darren Williams provide us with some great banter and stories from over the years.
Darren's funny stories.
Darren's funny stories. No, but to be serious, he is a really good guest. We've had him before, but it's been a while since he's been on, so it'll be really good to hear some of his crack again. And after the match, hopefully we'll be able to get some post-match stuff after you, just after the game.
Yeah, forget about this. So much content these days.
Loads.
Right, okay, thanks, lads. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.